Happy to be back again tonight. Be here in the service and trust that it'll mean much to every one of us, that God will miraculously heal someone tonight. He might receive glory through himself or his goodness. I'm sure if we're just all believing with one heart and one accord, God will grant it. Don't you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Just a little tired tonight. As far as being physically tired, no. I guess you would call it mentally tired. It just seems like it just, the strength just goes away and you don't know where it's gone, but it goes. But God is our strength. We trust Him. Today has been quite a day. I've been praying much today concerning the meeting. So many people sending telegrams and calling in knowing that I'm to be home Friday, and they want to know who can be the first one to go to. And you understand now why it is. It's just constantly on the move, and you don't get any time of rest. And only way I get rest is when I don't go home and just go somewhere else. I wait a little while. Then when you do, it makes you feel bad. You think in the meetings, and then you could get to pray for little children, and you just seem like you can hear them at night calling for prayer. Mothers and crippled people. And what that is, that's the cry of their prayer. It's just haunting down. They're praying. I just sometimes want to go up in the mountains. I have a picture of the audience. I set it down, maybe by the tree, kneel down, and just pray. God will heal them. And it's my interest. I like it as well. No one enjoys, appreciates good health any more than I do. For I've spent much time and very, very sick in my young days, and I wanted permanently, bothered with some trouble for years. I drink barley water, crackers. Start out walking, but I just didn't have right up. I just said, and I went to all kinds of doctors, and nothing to be done. They said, well, nothing can help you. They give me medicines and everything. It couldn't stop me. It went on just the same. About 7 or 8 years, constantly. And I was just eating. I was just trying. I'd look at the table and see people eat and sit down. And I tried. I'd drink my barley water, you know, and maybe a little fruit juice for breakfast. Barley water for dinner, and eat a few crackers, soda crackers, or the barley water, maybe a bread cracker occasionally, When I see people, I go to work, take a shovel, and work all day long, and go over to eat and drink the barley water, I had a constant headache all the time. That muscle. I went in it. Once walked around with gray, big glasses on. Just sometimes could smell, but just had to leave. I'd be so blind. Weighed about 120 pounds. Just hanging it down. After all those years of suffering. And now, my eyes are 20/20. Just as perfect as human eyes can be. I can reach this table print 5 feet away from me. And my stomach, God be praised, I eat anything I want to do, just enjoy it. And I'm so thankful for it. And feel good, weigh 153 pounds. I just very thankful. When I was a little boy, I was Irish. Of course, my conversion didn't change that too much. Someone said, you think there's any change for an Irishman? I said, yes. There's one up in heaven, Michael. And I said, so I know there's a chance then for me. But all the, when I was a city, I used to like the bomb, right, Martin. I, he had a just a tall city championship there. I bounced a whole lot in that, and I got to getting up to where I could fight 18 round fights. I won 15 straight professional fights. And I lost my 16th one, Billy Creek, in West Virginia, Davisville, Indiana, to Regan. Fought it. One of them did a draw, and the other didn't give me 2 weeks because he really ran to get it. First time in my life I ever looked up to God to make a promise. I wasn't sure of myself when I went to the ring that night. I said, well, I'm. Let me come to this, I won't have no more. So, I've stood boxing ring since then, but I'm fighting another opponent, the devil, that time. And I'm so happy tonight that there's so much law in boxing, pulling me, and so forth like that, but in this, we have a great master, and we can just preach the gospel full and free and let it go and kids fall wherever they wish. God takes care of the rest. Now, I want to make this statement that I've been just a little leery about saying it, but tonight I feel just a little bit dressed up. Don't know whether you noticed or not, but that's the suit the sister gave me. I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. God bless that sister. Thank you all. People sending me nice ties, shirts, socks. I was a little afraid to say anything about it on the platform. Maybe somebody thought that I would get the wrong impression. I was just saying it just called maybe, oh no, I don't think that. But it's so appreciated. I just couldn't let the people do things like that and then let me not mention it. Some of them don't even put their address on it. I couldn't say the one thing that brought me that. I couldn't ever let her, let the right hand, left hand know what the right hand was doing, I suppose. But I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. And I'll say this, my dear sisters, and to all you others. You never give anything to anyone in your life to appreciate it anymore than I do. That's right. I do. And the Bible says, insomuch you have done unto the least, that's me, of my little ones, you have done it unto me. He who received the righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives the righteous man's reward. Whosoever received the prophet in the name of a prophet receives the prophet's reward. And I trust that God will return it to you 100-fold. And I'm sure if God lets me keep my right mind, I'll never be in bar rooms because I don't go to those places. Never was in one. And I only go to church and to my home and out to visit the sick. That's where I go. And I trust that God, while preaching in this suit, will let me win thousands of people. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will so anoint that those people who even come by, many of them as they did in Arkansas, to touch and be healed by His glory and power. And in glory, when life is all finished, our earthly journey is over, I hope I'm standing near when I see Him put the great white robe on you. I'll bow my head and bow. Thank the Lord, clothing you in His righteousness. God ever be with you, my friend. One time I thought it wasn't right to receive a prayer from someone to give you. Brother Sharon, a man, corrected me on that. He said, Brother Branham, I hate to correct you on anything, but that you're mistaken there. That you call those people but not receiving their prayers. You call them to lose their reward. He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And he told me his story. I just come to my mind for a moment. John D. Sheriff, Phoenix, Arizona, one of the business managers of the campaign. Many of you have met him, no doubt. Is anybody here would happen to know Brother Sharon? Anybody? John Sharon, Arizona. Well, he's a product of God's Bible School in Cincinnati, Ohio. The dean of the college was just talking to me long distance a few moments ago. Very fine man, Brother Stanley. Many of you heard Brother Stanley from the God's Revival. He's in my house waiting for me now. And he and Brother Raymond E. Ritchie, you know, you've heard of him, haven't you, from Houston, Texas, that belongs to the Church Assemblies of God and has been a friend with Temple there. And so, Brother Cher, he was born kind of a fellow that didn't have very much of the world's goods. His father was a very poor man, and he was very rowdy, and he left his mother. John Sherrod, about 15 years ago, was selling apples at a nickel apiece out in front of him like this in St. Louis, Missouri. Apples, a little didn't couldn't have a cart to take care of his mother. And he had an impediment of speech. He couldn't talk at all. He'd go to talk, he'd just stand there. He'd try to say good evening. That's not what he tried to get. Awful bad. Well, but he began to seek the Lord when he was a boy. And all the boys were running out to different places, this young lady. He said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'd be awful out trying to talk to the young lady, but I want to be married and have children. And I'm going to serve you, and you give me a wife. And he committed to the Lord. The age of about 25, if he could have passed every woman by in the world, he couldn't have got a better one than what he got. God gave him a lovely little companion. But one great thing, he loved children so well. She was barren. He was married for many, many years. 6, 7, 8, 10 years, no children. He cut concrete on the street 25 cents an hour to make a living. And they'd save their money, and they bought a little three-room house. I think it cost about $1,500 that time of the Depression. And they paid and paid and paid and tried to pay until they paid all of it off. But just about the time they got it all paid off, they had a revival, it seemed. And there was a man by the name of Dr. Sutton, don't know whether you know him or not, but birthed a Canadian, a gospel, gospel preacher. He came down there to meet, and he was staying in a tourist. And the Lord appeared to Brother Sherrod one night in a dream. He said to him, take your silverware and your clothes and your wife and leave your home and turn that over to this Brother Sutton. Think of it. After about 10 years of hard labor in the Depression, saving and striving, and the Lord told him to turn that place over to Dr. Sutton, which was a well-known minister. Sure. All right, Lord. Went to his little companion and said, honey, the Lord has spoke to me and told me to turn our house over, to take our silverware and our clothes and turn the house over to Dr. Sutton. When he went and told, she said, all right, here. She believed in her husband. That the Lord said, if you do that, God's got something else for us to do. So he turned all he had now, and he didn't have no place to take his wife that night. And they found a tourist camp. It cost 75 cents. And they stayed in a tourist camp that night. He was making 25 cents an hour cutting concrete on the street. That's right. Working daily work. Great big man, which is about 225 pounds. And about a week later, some rich lady told him if she would move some of the things back in her garage, if he wanted to live in her garage up towards Camelback Mountain, you know where this place is, kind of a real aristocratic part of the country up there, said, if you'll keep my yard trimmed of a evening when you come in, keep the grass watered and so forth, said, you can live in my garage free. He moved up there without one thing, got some boxes, got him a spring laid on the floor, got him a mattress, put on him and his wife slept there. And Brother Sutton said, Brother Jared, I don't, he said, the Lord has said to me to do that. That's all right. And he went on, and he was that way about a year. Lived a good Christian life. And finally, the lady that he lived with was a bald millionaire woman. And she, seeing his honesty, he was a Christian, like a Daniel down in Babylon. She went to him one day, she said, John, said, you know what? The Lord spoke to me last night in a dream and told me that I was to loan you $10,000 to go in business. Why, he said, couldn't talk to him. Said, lady, I can't even talk. I'll never make a business man. She said, but the Lord told me to do this, and here's the check. She said, well, I can't take it. Sir, I don't want $10,000 laying on my... No, I... So she said, but the Lord said for me to give it to you. I've noticed you being a good, honest man. See you read the Bible. And I got me a Bible and was reading. And the Lord told me to give you a check, loan it to you, for $10,000 to go in business. Well, he took the check, he didn't know what to do. He went on, and one evening he was walking up to see a little old five-room house for sale for $2,000. Well, he went out there and cashed the check and bought it for $2,000 and went out there, him and his wife, began to knock the plastering off of the place and replastered it at night, him and his wife working together. And he plastered up the house, fixed it around, and put a sale sign up on it. And if he'd have got $3,000, he'd have made money, and he sold it for $6,000. The day John Church worth $500,000, that's been about 6-7 years ago since it started, worth $500,000, he's the father of three fine little children. Oh, my. He said, Brother Branham, what if Dr. Sutton wouldn't have taken what God told me he wanted to do? And now he said to us, Lord, whenever I see your program, that's the estimate. He said, I don't want your own Orange Grove Ranch house, you own the big Thunderbird Ranch there, one of the greatest rears in Arizona. He said, all these things, and he said, I've got more money than I know what to do with. And God gave him a fine little girl, then a little boy, then a little girl. That's the reason his presence is tonight. The little baby's just recently born. His wife had been married for all these years, and now his married children just doing. Oh, what a happy family. And he said, when I come to see him, he said, went up to the meeting one night, and he said, Lord, is that what you're talking about? And then he said, come to me, he said, Brother Brandon, you don't owe me a penny, but if I could pack your hat or bring your coat, I want to be in the campaign. I had prayer for him, and he's come and stood his feet back to do him again. Now he's healed with his fine home, every word, gives his tithe to the Lord of everything he makes. Oh, my, just bless, so it is more. Now, if you want to write to me, just write John C. Sheriff, Phoenix, Arizona. Look at him. And ask him the testimony himself. Now he's bringing traps and everything, scattering the gospel everywhere. He'll probably be with us shortly again in the campaign. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, that isn't saying you let God tell you what to do. And when God tells you, as Mrs. Jones over there is a widow woman and needs some clothes, and he speaks to you to go help that widow woman, you go help her. You do that. Because this is saying, all the money that we have is going to pass away. There won't be no more. It's just the eternal things, it's the things that we have in our soul. Is that right? We came into the world naked, we go out of the world naked. As Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's right. Now, everybody, be reverent, be prayerful, and God will bless us, I'm sure. I'm going to ask you something tonight, if you will, for me, while I read the scripture. Maybe I'll wait till I read the scripture. Let's turn to St. James, the third chapter.
For the second chapter. Beginning with the 21st verse.
There was a certain man in this city that I just heard the news just now. He said if I would return back, either Sunday afternoon or Sunday, he would rent some big auditorium somewhere to have a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening service. So I have to pray. I want the Lord to give me what to do. Just done what I need. I appreciate that, brother. Your offer, regardless. God bless you. If you've got that much heart for the sick people, the blessing will come to you just the same as that. To see the need. Now in St. James, the second chapter and the 21st verse, this would almost look like a contradiction in the scripture, but there is no contradictions in the scripture. You know, you've heard people say that scripture contradicts itself. It does not. For 10 years, there was a challenge laid on my platform, on my pulpit, that any person who could show a contradiction in God's word that could not be straightened by the word of God.
Not so. All the scripture is mingled up, that's right. It's all broke up and placed in here. That's the reason seminaries, theological schools, will never be able to know it. It's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and will be revealed to they such as will learn.
It doesn't have a schooling you got. Certain little old boy down in Kentucky, most of the country where I came from, someone said every day, he said, "Brother Ben, what part of Kentucky are you from?" "Oh my, it's way down in Kentucky. Where they way down, don't even have roads in there. Just brick boxes." And so they had a little old rural school, a little old boy in about the second grade. Got up there one day and said, "Teacher, the Lord called me to preach." Why, she laughed, that hair hanging down his neck. Said, "The Lord called me to preach." I guess the boy's 15, 16 years old. And said, "Why," the teacher said, "the very eyes. Forget about it." Well, he went to the principal of school. No, they couldn't let him preach. But a few months after that, some great minister came through with some great teaching to his name. So they permitted him to have the school. So he preached a 2-week meeting.
Never had one conversion. So the boy's father thought the boy really was called to preach. So he went to the principal and said, "Well, if you let him have it, why don't you let my boy have a try?" So they went down there and he didn't have it. They all, everybody come out to hear this boy that night. He got up there and he couldn't read the Bible. So they had to get somebody to read the Bible for him. And he got to preaching, but when he got to preaching, that little old self-styled teacher, along with about 50 others, found herself at the altar weeping their way through the crowd. See? That's right. And there was a real revival broke out in that part of the country, and literally hundreds came to Christ. Why? It doesn't take the great education. It takes a full, surrendered heart to Jesus Christ. No matter how illiterate you are, your fool will not err in the way. Is that right? So, listen closely now as we read the word. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Likewise also was Rahab justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, the first thing, it looks like Paul was speaking in Romans, the 4th chapter, justifying Abraham by faith, and James is justifying him by works. But it does not contradict. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham. And James is speaking what man saw in Abraham. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham in Genesis 6 when he told him that he was going to have this child by Sarah. And Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him. Right. He believed the promise. That's what God saw. And then James speaking was speaking of what man saw in Genesis 22, where Abraham offered up Isaac. See, what faith is, what faith you have, that's what God sees. But what your works is, that's what your neighbor sees. See? Show me your works by your faith. Without your faith, I'll show you my works by my faith. See? Notice, I believe that this audience here has faith. I believe that. But I believe you're afraid to turn it loose on works. Or I believe that you would just let your faith loose. Now, as far as I know, I've got two more nights. And last night,
even tonight, I'm trying my best to hold that disposed against and keep from straining too hard. Then the last two nights, if God be my helper, I will throw my whole heart and everything I got to the service. But I'd like to get this to you while I'm speaking, Paul. Probably tomorrow night or next night, I don't even want to say nothing. Just have the prayer line, get ready, and come on in the platform, go pray into the state. But if you would do this, dear friend, if you would give God a chance, now you believe, I'd ask if you believe, you say yes. Is that right? If you believe, you say yes. Then if you believe, you've got to act like you believe. Isn't that right? You've got to act like you believe. Now notice. If you could believe, say for instance, I was at the altar as a sinner. Now, the only way that you'll ever be able to obtain anything from God is by faith. Y'all understand that? For the whole Christian armor is faith. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, all the unseen. And we as Christians, we do not look at what we see, we look at what we believe. See what I mean? We believe it before there's any natural evidence. The Virgin Mary, when the angel of God met her and said, "Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women," and began to tell her that she was going to give birth to a child without knowing any man being a virgin, she accepted the angel's word. And she began to testify and tell people that she was going to have a baby without knowing a man before there was any natural evidence at all. She just believed it. And she acted upon what she believed. Now that's what you have to do to get well. Now, when there was no one to tell me what to do by gift when I was at Mayo Brothers in Rochester. When they looked at me, the best doctor in the world, and said, "You haven't even got any kind of a chance." But one scripture, that is Hebrews 3:1. I've seen that. That he is the high priest of our confession. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make good anything that we confess that he has done. But he cannot do nothing for us until first we confess that he has done it and act upon it. See, when you, whatsoever things you desire, Jesus speaks. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it. That's the order, see. You believe now, you receive it, and it shall be given unto you. That's the future. For he's the high priest to make intercession for your confession. And he cannot give you until first you confess he has. Where can he save you? No matter how much you cry, you could come to the altar and cry and pull your hair and scream and say, "God, God, have mercy." I believe in old-fashioned repentance. But you could stay there and repent until year after year, and you'd never be saved until you believed in your heart that he had saved you and raised up and confessed it. If you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father and the holy angels. Is that true? I see you cannot be saved only by faith and confession. Is that right? Now, he will make good anything that he died for. And here he said, "Did he die for my healing?" I'll ask God. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He, 80% of his ministry was divine healing. 80% of his ministry was on the miraculous side, showing the people that the supernatural God was working in human flesh. And my brother and sister, may I say this with reverence, that's exactly what he's doing in this tent now, trying to get to the people. But if he was standing here, tonight, dressed in these clothes. He could not do any more for you than what he's doing here night after night. Is that right? Or he could not, he could tell you what, who you were, what you'd done, what was wrong with you. But he could not heal you until you believed it. And when you would believe it, the Father would reveal it to him. And he'd tell you, go your way, your sins are forgiven, or so forth. Is that what he acted in his ministry? And listen to his own sacred words coming from his sacred lips. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. So what he sees the Father doing? The Father makes known to the Son, and the Son speaks what the Father says. Well, then if he was standing here and you'd accept God as your healer, and you'd be healed, then the Son would reveal it to you, your sins are gone, your healing is right. Now, isn't that just exactly what the Son of God is still doing, working through mankind, his instrument? Oh, audience, how I wish I could have words that I could just give this to you. Think of a people's kind, poor people, do anything in the world for you, and yet I know exactly what you need, and know what you want, and how can I get it to you, see? And if I could, oh my, I would stand here and say, right up, if I had to move capsules, I could give every one and it would all be healed. And I know to work get those capsules, that I would have to take one of them with my nose and start pushing it from here to Columbus, Ohio, down the road, going down to the street, pushing in my nose. Knowing that that would heal you people when I got to Columbus, if I had no nose left, I would start tonight. That's right. God knows whether I'm telling the truth or not. I would start down the street pushing that thing with my nose to know that this group of people could see it. You know I want my Father glorified, and how I want him to be magnified. I want all the world to look to him. And if they would just look to him. Now, he is more willing to heal every person in the tent tonight than you are willing to be. Think of that. Now, how do we get healed then, Brother Branham? The first thing, you cannot be healed. You're just making yourself. I said, air, until in your heart you believe that you're healed. Oh, now remember, you can't play with Satan. He knows whether you believe or not. Don't you try to just make out. You really believe. And I think, friends, if you would get down to business with God, he'd come to business with you. Oh, how you just get that thing. Look, then by faith, you look, he's the high priest of your confession. You are healed just by the same merits that you are saved by. You're saved by the merits of Christ. Is that right? Not what your own merit. There's nothing you can do. To be saved, only believe on him. I couldn't go to heaven in my righteousness. Nor could you go to heaven in your righteousness. God wouldn't receive it. But he will receive the righteousness of his Son. And if we believe on him, as the scripture says, believe that he is, and will confess him, he will work the righteousness in us. If a sinner came and got, went out tonight and said, well, I got saved. Somebody say, well, you look just like you always did. They're the same person. Well, if they said, well, maybe I just did. Maybe I just thought I did. You'll go right straight back to your sin again like a hog to a swallow and a dog to a fox. That's right. But as long as you're willing to, could you imagine taking a hog from its swallow? You could take a hog out here and bring this hog in and rub it up with sal soda or whatever you want it to be. Do that painting on the toenails like women do on their fingers and fix it up with clothes on and put it on a hardwood floor and give it great nuts for breakfast, and that hog would die. You take him and turn him loose, all those showered up, he would go
not over.
He said, but I've done all that I know how to do. I said, but it's not yet to be. There's got to be something to pull that nature from you and change it. And she said, well, I prayed, I cried, and began to cry, and she got out. And when I got out of praying with her, asked God to make that demon turn her loose. And while I did that, laid hands upon her, laid quite there with her head down like this for some more. Directly turned around, she looked at me in those great big velvet eyes. She said, Brother Branham, something happened to me. I said, now it's over. That's right. Now it's over. She said, I just feel, well, I don't know. I said, there isn't enough devils in the world could upset you right now. You're going like you're going now. That's been a little over a year ago. The woman is married tonight with a lovely home. Never drank from that time or had no desire to drink or to smoke or anything. What was it? There was no medicine she took, but by the supernatural, divine power of the transformation of her soul with the power of Jesus Christ struck her and took away all the desire and the iniquity. And if she would die tonight, her soul is as white as anybody else. That's right. For she comes out in her marriage, but in the marriage of the Lord Jesus, who redeemed her, and the God. Listen, she was a character, all the police court records and everything. Gun law. No notice. But tonight, she's a lovely woman to be a mother. Settle down to a good God-paid Christian. What a difference. What did that? Were everything, were the law failed? Were the houses of correction failed? Were medical science failed? The blood of Jesus Christ stuck up and can't fail. Why? By faith. While the power of God that would change a prostitute to a saint, a drunkard to a righteous woman, while that by the same power will take any cancer, deaf, dumb, blind, crippled, for the same blood from the same man on the same day, atone for your healing and atone for your salvation. Is that the truth? He was wounded for your transgressions, with his stripes you're healed. The blood run exactly off of the same man at the same day. Is that right? How do you get it? Not because you think, but because you something strikes you that you know you got it. Look at here, friends. Let me give this illustration. I might have done it before. What color is that shirt? It's white. Anyone that's got sight knows that shirt's white. You have five senses about it. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. Now, none of those senses will declare God. When God made man, he made him in his image, his spirit man. And he put him in five senses to contact his earthly home, not to contact God with. Those senses don't declare God. They declare the earthly home, where the man had to contact his earthly home. He had to see, taste, feel, smell, hear. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You do not see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, or hear it, but you believe it. See what I mean? Now, if every person in here, if this boy sitting here, the lady sitting here, or the young lady sitting here, I'm talking to crippled people, and here, and there, and the people's got diseases. If you believe that you pray right now, until you were so sure that you were healed, just as sure as you say that's white, it's over. I'll assure you, if you'll get that type of faith, God Almighty will speak through thee and tell you you're healed. Will reveal it. See, friends? Therefore, you see, I'm throwing it away from myself. It's not me. I'm just, if only I couldn't breathe. You could breathe without God, could you? Let your spirit lead you, you're gone. Is that right? God holds your life in his hands. Is that true? You can't make yourself live. You live by God. Just the same as I can't say of it until God says something. I have no control of it. He says it. When he says it, then it's true. Then it's true. God confirms it with signs and wonders. Have faith. Place your faith in Christ. Now, it doesn't matter if I recall
Reverend Markham or one of these ministers
yeah.
up to the platform to pray for you. If you, if just according to your faith be it unto you, that minister has just as much right to pray or any of the other ministers, or not only a minister, but any Christian who's a believer, to pray with faith, prayer of faith. Anybody who believes is praying for the sick, please if I knew. Anybody, woman, man, boy, girl, I've seen my little girl. It's only 3 years old. Pray for a crippled child and it was healed. That's right. For a little heart to get a beast, you said, Daddy, look at that little girl. I said, pray for her, honey. And a week or two from that, the child was well. The child. God hears anybody cry that'll believe. And the reason you ask others to believe, because you're finding your faith together to move away that power of it, of doubt. The first sin that was ever committed was doubting God's word. Is that right? God said, the day you eat there, that day you die. They said, surely you'll not die. And he got Eve to doubt God's word and go to seeking knowledge. Is that right? Today, the whole world, I have nothing against education, but the world has got an educational program, and it's got it down into the church. And from the platform, the minister has to be a certain degree or something, or he has to have so many degrees, or he thinks he ain't welcome in a platform. You let me go to some of these aristocratic churches and use my Kentucky words, Hank and his and Terry and Beth, and they kick me out. But look, brother, the kingdom of God don't come by education. That's right. It comes by a surrendered heart to God. And I'm not trying to support my interest. But I'm saying this, my dear friend. That is simple child faith. Don't seek for knowledge. Now you're thinking I'm throwing it at the doctor. I believe in doctors. I believe in hospitals, institutions. Whatever can help anybody, God and more. But there's not a one of them that ever can heal anybody. And they don't confess, profess to heal somebody. They claim to assist nature. God is the healer. If I cut a place in my hand, as I told you a few nights ago, all the medicine in the world would heal that hand. If I die and it embalmed me, throw that hand up, put all kinds of medicines on it, 50 years and the day would still be there. Medicine doesn't heal. You take the life out of there, there's no healing. Life is a healer, and life is God. Jesus came that you might have abundance of life, more life than what your normal life is, to believe on him, to be healed or saved. I'm not excited, but I know what I'm speaking of. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. There it is. You say, why are you talking about gifts, Paul? Gifts are to edify. They're addition. Here is the first and only foundation for divine healing or anything from God is the Bible. If you get off of that, you're out of God's will. And divine healing is a hocus-pocus affair. It isn't saying a few mystery words over somebody, hypnotizing. It's the truth revealed through Jesus Christ is divine healing. That's right. Gifts of the Spirit are brought down to edify, or in other words, it's the flag, the flying over the top of the building. It's the appearance of the outside to attract the people in, out of the rain. See what I mean? Now, if come from God, if they are from God, they will testify of God. And God will testify of them. Is that true? If you are sick, pray. Until you believe with all your heart. You never just pray for something, you just know you're going to get it. That's faith. Now, if you believe that with all your heart, accept it and act on it. Now, you can believe it just as much as you want to. If you didn't act on it, you'll sit right there like a sinner would lift the altar. If you got a lamp praying, pray, and say, Lord, I know you're saying to me, but that's just, I know you're saying, he'll never get through until he rises and confesses it and stays with it and shows works with it.
James says, just as the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith without works is dead. No matter how much you believe. And that's what I'm telling you, friends. These gifts are brought in to make the presence of God real to you.
I guess I'm really getting you talking. The gifts are brought to make the presence of God real to you. Then your faith looks up to God and accepts divine healing or salvation or whatever you have need of from God. It isn't only you, one thing or other. Anything that you have need of in this earth's journey, God will supply if you have need of it. He promised to supply your needs, not your wants, your needs. And He's God. And He can only get it to you as you believe Him. And gifts are to make you see that He shares in His attitude towards one and towards all. Amen. Oh, my. Friends, you may think that I'm an awful, peculiar sort of a person. But I wish I could just take the faith that's in my heart and spread it out to you right now. You see what I mean? There'll be a spontaneous something happening here that every person in the building. You say, well, now, Brother Branham, I don't know where I can move my hand. You'll never move as long as you think that. Believe that He's done it and go say He's done it. Act like He's done it. Move every inch. If He can't move it, but say tomorrow, I'll move it a little bit farther. The next day, I'll move it a little farther. The next day, I'll move a little farther. Think of that far as you're going, say, oh, no, I'm going on. Keep on with it. Stay with it. Great faith will bring you right now. A little faith will bring you out anyhow. You'll stay with it. Before you see the ray of light, follow it. Stay with it. He'll bring you out. Oh, my. Now, Jesus to identify Himself. He identified not Himself, but His Father. The Father that doeth the work. Now, when Philip comes, He showed Philip, Nathaniel, the people where the mules were tied, where the money was, the feast is now. Is that right? Now, He said, these things that I do, greater than this shall you do. You do the things that I do and still more of them. For I'm going to the Father. But I'll come again and be with you even in you. If the spirit of an artist was in us, we could paint a picture like an artist. If the spirit of a gangster was in us, we'd have guns. If the spirit of Christ is in us, we'll put our meaning. You like Christ, we'll act like Him. And then if that spirit's in there, we'll have the things that Christ had, we'll have also. See what I mean? But you can't make yourself. You've got to believe. That's where I think you're doing things. That's where the mistake is. You've got to work yourself up there, sure.
Instead of doing that, just sit down with a childlike faith. Don't bother. Look here, I'm coming to you. You promised it to me. Give me faith to believe it right now. And if we drop that faith, we need to accept it. Turn right up and that's over. Just as simple as that is. You have to be careful and be reverent and believe God with all your heart. Now, these gifts, signs, wonders, bring God's presence. If you believe tonight with all your heart, God surely believe it. Let's God, our Heavenly Father. Oh, Jesus, I talk long. I wanted the people to see how You have died to bring us faith to be. Grant to us tonight, Father, Thy blessing. Heal Thy people tonight. Many are sitting here, and some of them without faith. Some of them have faith and afraid to work with it, Lord. Let their faith be turned loose tonight, and when they go home, may they go home rejoicing, happy. Be healed through Jesus, the Son of God. Amen.
Father, this is called the prayer line. We'll call down to Houston, Texas. We've had a line that's going to do like we did last night. He came and God blessed you. He had a little prayer. He passed you, and he was jerking, I feel. And he passed through, and there'd been a woman in a slow line down there. She was a garter. She had her umbrella walking up down the street, screaming and going home.
little fellow passed by, and I said, God bless you, my brother, you believe? He said, with all my heart. I said, go home now, unless your faith will make the whole. Passed on by. I got three come back in line and said, Brother Brennan, you told me I believe you, and I'm a real servant. I said, Brother, you told me you believe. He said, I do. I said, you're not asking me. I said, you're to believe what I told you. He said, well, I do believe it. I said, well, why are you coming back telling me you wasn't here? See how easy it is. He said, well, Brother Bram, said, am I you then? I said, yes. I said, do you believe you are? Did you believe he heard my prayer? He told me if I be sincere when I pray, get the people believe. And nothing to stand before his prayer. Do you believe that? I said, yes, sir. I believe with all my heart. I said, go on. He said, okay. He started waiting. He made sure he come back to your life. But I had to stop checking. And I said, well, now look, I'm not talking about when you stop now. You might have stopped for a week or 10 days or 3 months or 4 months or 2 years. I said, Abraham waited 25 years on Jesus. Is that right? The scripture readers know it. I said, you believe what I've told you. He said, well, I don't get it, Brother Graham. I said, Brother, the angel of God who is declaring that I have told the truth told me this. If I could get the people to believe me and be sincere when I pray. Oh, I see it. I see what you mean. But I've already got the healing. I'm just waiting for it to stop on the other side. All right. Well, I'm healed. He went on, you know, and kept saying, praise the Lord, and was healed. About a month after that or two, maybe about, I'd say 6 weeks to be safely, I was in another meeting. They just come out of the broadcast, out of the studio, in the auditorium, and I just walked out there, and a phone, the usher center said, you're wanted on the phone, it's on your own phone.
From Indiana. Well, it had to be Indianapolis instead of Jeffersonville. And the lady said, are you the divine healer? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm Brother Branham. She said, well, look, I had a, but I'm from Indianapolis, sure, Indiana. And said, I had a son that goes down to stay with my sister each year down in Houston for his vacation. Said, he's had the palsy that he dropped when he was a baby on his back, kind of injury. He's had the palsy, he said, for years. And said, he come home here a few weeks ago and saying some divine healer healed him. And said, he's just been going around here hollering, praise the Lord, he's healed and everything else like that. Said, he's had the whole neighborhood tore up. And said, well, there was no difference in the boy. And said, we told him, so now we're Christian people. He said, but Mother, I saw blind people see, and deaf people hear, see cripples walk away, and said, pass through line, he told me to believe that I was healed. He said, the angel told him that, what the angel told him on the other things is right, and that's right, and I'm healed, and nobody's going to make me say any different. I'm just going to stay right with him. He just kept on. And she said, he did that for several weeks, and said he would come down, and sit down in a chair, and go, well, thank God for healing. He just shaking his heart as he goes. And said, the people, what, he got a reproach, that the neighbors would laugh at him. Said it all over saying, well, I guess he's healed. There he goes. Look at him shaking. Now, isn't that a shame that somebody deceived somebody like that? But isn't that a shame that neighbors say, well, that fellow ought to be arrested, ought to be run out of the country. And my pet for telling that boy that.
If I wasn't telling the truth, I should be. Thanks. But it's the truth. So it went on, and she said, when he come back the second time, I forgot to tell you, he said, Brother Branham, if you heal me, I'll give you $100 right now. Now, I said, Brother, he offered me a million, I couldn't heal him. And then he said, what about that woman with the garter? I said, her faith in Christ will heal her, Brother. And so he said, well, now, he was doing that. He said, last Friday afternoon, he came in. He said, but one of our friends from out of the country was business, and he come in, shaken, sat down in the chair, and said, praise the Lord for healing. And said, my relative from the country said, what's the matter with him? Called, said he got down there and some preacher got him all worked up and told him he was healed. He said, he's been carrying on like that ever since. He said, well, I am healed. He said, she said, got to laughing at him, you know. And so the mother got to laughing at him. Just to make him stop saying that, you know, instead of his bringing a reproach. It'll never bring a reproach, don't testify for what Christ died for at Calvary. No, sir. He healed every person when he died at Calvary. He did. Right, you have to accept it. And when this, he sat down there in the chair and he was shaking like that and kept on shaking. So he got to crying. He said, we got to laugh at him. And said, all of a sudden, he jumped to his feet. This is still as he could be. But now I am. That's right. God had visited him. He said, Reverend Branham, said, we made him sit down in the chair. He sat there for hours. To be sure, he never shook a bit. And said, we took him down to our church, a
very noted Baptist church broadcast right here. Then we took him out to church, and the pastor looked at where it said a notable Jesus in there. Then we took him to the medical doctor's Saturday, and they examined him, said there's nothing wrong with him. And said, now this is Sunday, and he's still just as bright as he can be. Walking up, said, I told you I was healed. And she said, now he promised you $100, and I want to know where to send him. I said, oh, sister. I said, he's a rich man. He got so much money, he don't know what to do. He'd tell him to go down the street, and the first little ragged kid he sees goes in and buy him a lot of clothes to get a thing for something. I said, he gives God praise. That's right. I said, for his need. Now, what if you had stayed there one way, he came to laugh at you? You stay right with it. If you believe it, stay right there, and don't you fail to save it. Stay right there, and God will make it right. All right. I remember I promised you that tomorrow night, going to try as hard as I can, we're going to have a prayer line. We'll line the people up here, all the people there that's got their prayer cards. We'll pray for them as long as I can. And if any of you would thank this, God has already healed you out here in the audience. Thank us and healed you. Maybe it won't be your asking to show you. Would you just raise your hand and say, it won't? Let's have just a little line from right here. Here's a sick folks right here. Right here. Line. All right. One of us. Well, let's just come around to the audience. Will you believe now and pray with me? Let us bow. Our Heavenly Father, you know my heart. And you know what I have needed. And thou knowest that I'm not here to make a show. I'm only here to try to claim the promises that Christ has given to the people and trying to exalt Christ to them that they might believe on him. Now you bear me record, Father, that I have told the truth. As in your word and in the testimonies and so forth, that you're here, and I know that you're going to heal the people. And please, Heavenly Father, help them to believe on you and to be healed tonight. Grant it, dear Father. And now, if there be strangers in our gates, and they might be here sick, and maybe for the last time, and this is why I ask this, Father. If you just show me something with somebody out there, something is wrong, and will heal that person, just as Moses put his hand in his bosom and turned it out. Will you do that for us tonight, Father? I'm waiting on you. Going forward now by faith, believe that you are going to do this for us. In the name of thy Son, Jesus, amen. Now, if the piano will, slowly abide with me. Just love that song. Abide with me. That's what I want, God. Now, dear people, you know I don't know you. I don't know one thing about you. The only way I ever have of knowing you has to be through God. You know that. I'm trying to be sincere to you. I know someday I've got to stand with you before God. And what good would it do me to come before God if my heart wasn't right with you? You'd be there and be laughing. There's joy in having a wonderful time, and I'd be attached to it. And I'm here struggling with all my heart. I'm tired, weak, weary, trying to help you. Now you believe me with all your heart. May to the Lord Jesus glory. If I could just get one person around the group somewhere that now you're all believing. There's a group of people. I hope that someday you'll understand what we're feeling where it is now. You'll see like this. Like that there was a 10,000 needles sticking in you, drawing your line. Drawing. I just be as reverent as you can. I see somebody just as far back this way as I can get.
I'm not sure just where it's at. But in that distance, if I am wrong, God forgive me. And being weak and tired. But I think the lady is sitting by the side of the man with a checkered shirt on. I think it's her. Aren't you real nervous, sister? Some type of nerve condition? If that's right, raise up your hand. That's just something with a lady just behind you, but I can't tell what it is. Is this other lady here calling so hard? You're nervous, aren't you, sister? I just go home and going to be well. Do you believe me? All right, don't never say you're nervous anymore. Go home and just rejoice and have a good time. Raise your family. God bless you. Now, I'm not sure. I'm awfully weak, but I believe this lady sitting here just believes that. Sitting right here. Is there something wrong with you that I know in here? I can't make this word exactly, but is there something wrong in the bowel system? Hole in trouble? Is that right, sister? If it is, raise your hand. All right. You believe me now? All right. Don't ever think about that anymore. Go on. Won't be what you want me to do. I believe a lady lost, somebody lost the garter just that. I believe it's that third lady sitting there. Did you have a garter, sister? Is that right? Well, it left you. God bless you. That have your hand up there. That's right. All right. The blessing of God is on you, sister. I tell it maybe. Now let's move somewhere else. Okay. Let's get over it. Everybody gives us some rest. Lady sitting right here. You have a prayer card in there. You got a prayer card for the line? Maybe I would call say something. You give me a number. Is your number way back? How far back is your number? I don't know where you'll call from. You've had some trouble, haven't you? I can't tell just what it is. But I believe having you had an operation. Have you had an operation? I see you in the surgery room. Now, friends, I wish you to see what I'm looking at now. Yes, this was a cancer operation. You come back on you, haven't you? All right, you believe me now with all your heart? Jesus Christ healed. Go home and believe it on me.
Lady sitting there with that swing on your arm. Wrong with your arm. Let's see just a moment. Now have faith, sister. I'm trying to get to the disease people. Anybody who sees the crippled people, they can see what's wrong with them. But this is something missing. I look this way, lady. She's got her arm in a sling. No. That's cancer, too. Isn't that right? Say, haven't you been prayed for? Did somebody pray for you? You're kind of wondering about whether it's all right or not, aren't you? Why don't you go ahead now and believe that with all your heart and you'll be well. Just believe it. That little girl standing right behind there. That little girl then sitting there with the lady. Look this way, honey. It seemed like there was something wrong with you. Kind of a black looking something hanging over the little girl. Look up here, sweetheart. The little girl, let me see. Oh, yes. All right. The little girl has a... I'm not sure now. It's either her bladder or her kidneys. One. It's a kidney trouble, I'm pretty sure, right? Is that right, sister? Kidney trouble? Stand up, sweetheart. Let's see where that... There it is. All right. That kidney trouble's going to leave, sweetheart. You're going to be a well girl. You love Jesus? Love Jesus, raise up your little hand like that. That's right. All that's fine. Amen. Just have faith. Believe with all your heart. See, right now, I believe this lady that jerk got over second from her there. Did you have a daughter, sister? but there's girls there, a garter, this lady sitting right there. Well, there seemed like somebody in there had a garter somewhere that led there. What was it? I couldn't make out. All right, sister, swallow. When you're through. All right, it's gone. There, part of your heel, God bless. I could tell the garter left, but I couldn't tell just where it was. Oh, isn't he the Lord Jesus?
Now, look, man. Feel all right? I don't see that. You just... There it is. Just say praise the Lord. Now, friends, look. Breathe now with all your heart. There's a lady sitting right there trying her best to catch a hold. I can't see what's wrong with you, sister. You with that red dress on there, with that red coat. You were trying to contact me, wasn't you, sister? Trying to... Is something wrong with you, is there? Something wrong? Yes? I believe... I'm not too sure. It's a nerve condition called... I believe a convulsion. Isn't that right? Convulsions? Is that right? Raise your hand. All right. God bless you. You believe me as God's servant? As his prophet? How would I know what was wrong with you outside of God telling me? Now, you were trying to find me here, and your vibrations didn't pick up. Now, you go home and forget about that. And just say, I haven't gotten more convulsions, and we'll never have them more. Go on, and you'll be well. You believe that? You love, will you serve God all your life? God bless you. Let's bow our heads now, just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you just now. Seemingly, Lord, if I could just talk to the people a moment. They seem to have any spark. Look upon their face, and some of them are reaching out and catching by faith. Thank you with all my heart for your goodness and kindness. Thank you for all that you've healed through these past 2 weeks. The lame, blind, the paralyzed, people who have TB already pronounced well by the doctors. Tumors have disappeared, can't even find them nowhere. Great, hideous cancers, finding people, have left. Doctors can't find no trace of them. They're gone because faith in Christ has taken them away. Bless these people, Father. Tonight, as we start the prayer line, may many hundreds be healed tonight. Grant it, Lord, that your name might be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a moment. Oh, I wish I'd everybody could be healed. How glorious. How marvelous. What a faith. Friends, believe my word. You're just afraid to let loose yourself. You're afraid to trust God with it. Don't be afraid. What more could he do? He couldn't do no more. And here's one thing. I want to leave this tonight. That your pastor, you don't have to run around across the country to people to be prayed for. Your pastor has the right to pray for you. Now, I'm going to ask the pastors in this church, cooperating here, if they will come here and let the people pass through them first before I come down here. I want to examine some of the cases that come through. All right. Is there anything that's wrong with the people? Will you pastors come here just a moment? God bless you. And I want you to line up a dual line right down along this platform. Here, come right up here and I'll stand at the bottom of the steps. I want you congregation here. I want you to believe me. Do you believe me? That soreness is leaving that place right now, where that cancer was operating. Isn't that right, lady? Now, you go on. Here's another thing, sister. You all, you desire, of course, to walk with God, haven't you? To get closer to Him. Now, you go ahead and do that. You want it. You've been praying for a closer walk. Isn't that right? When you prayed for a closer walk. I just, while they're lining up, I had something to tell you. I could just move it over here a few moments ago, and I didn't get to tell you. You prayed just hard to get to come here and have you. Is that right? You prayed that God would do something for you here. You made God a promise, too, hadn't you? You're serving the rest of your life with all your heart if He lets you give. He's done it now. Now, you go on and serve. 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 You all your desire, of course, to walk with God, haven't you? To get closer to Him. Now you go ahead and do that. You want it. You've been praying for a closer walk. Isn't that right? When you prayed for a closer walk. I just, while they're lining up, I had something to tell you. I just kept moving over here a few moments ago, and I didn't get to tell you. You prayed just hard to get to come here and have this. Is that right? You prayed that God would do something for you here. And you made God a promise, too, hadn't you? You're serving the rest of your life with all your heart if he lets you get one. He's done it now. Now, you go on and serve him with all your heart and have faith in God. I'm glad for this group of ministers standing here with their bowed heads to believe that Jesus Christ is going to heal the people. I don't know where Brother Paul Ryan will leave it to him. I'm going to walk down here to him and let the people come through this line. Everyone, and let them be prayed for by these ministers first. I want to check them as I'm here to end the roll and see if I can help these people when he comes.
Now, the brothers tell me they believe. I believe they believe. If they do and you believe, then you start praying to God when you get down here. If you're crippled, you'll be walking. If you're blind, you'll be seeing. If you're dead, you'll be hearing. That's right. And when you get down here, and if you got sickness, it'll be gone from you.
Then when I leave, then you'll realize that your pastor has the right to pray for the sick. They're good, God, saved, Holy Ghost, the old man. That's right. And I certainly put my endorsement upon them to pray for the sick. All right, well, I'll pray just a moment. Heavenly Father, you know the weakness of my body. You know what I'm trying to do. Now, I know there's people here that want to be healed. Oh, eternal God, help me now tonight. As I blind your children up here on this platform, your believing servant, each of them with a bowed head, that's waved holy hands in the air over the center, telling them to believe on the Lord Jesus to be saved. They taught healing. They believed in it. And now the confirmation of their teaching has come to pass. And now, Father, reward them before the people who they stood gallant for. I have them standing here tonight, and standing here as representatives of divine healing and the cross of Christ. And now, Father, when they lay their hands upon them people, may every unclean spirit leave the people. May the blind demons come out of the blind. May the deaf hear. May the dumb speak. May the lame walk. May cancers vanish. Tuberculosis, all kinds of diseases leave. And may this be one of those marvelous nights that will inspire their hearts and will set an old-fashioned revival to go in here that will never cease. May it never cease until Jesus comes. Grant it, Lord. Now I'll be standing here at the end of the roll, Lord, and grant that every person coming off the platform will be praising God for their healing. Hear the prayer of your humble servant. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask him. Amen. All right. Everyone that's got a prayer card, line them any way you want.
I want those with prayer cards you tonight. I want to start at 1 and go to 100. When you start across the platform, to my right, your left, just keep moving. Do not stop any of the ministers or Reverend Brown and ask them any personal favors. Everyone must keep moving in order to get everyone through. If you stop and ask Reverend Brown something, stopping someone else to be safe for tonight. So everyone keep moving, please.
Let everyone be in prayer everywhere else. As soon as these are out, we'll bring in another group. Let everybody that desires. Now, if you've got something wrong with you that you don't know what it is and you want to find it out, if you've got something that's holding you back in your life, don't come in this line. Wait and come in tomorrow night or the next night for that discerning spirit to pick up what's wrong with you. See? But if you've got faith to believe, come in here tonight. Come right on in and be healed. Everyone, as soon as these are over, let the rest of them. Everybody pray everywhere. Christian, this is your duty to pray. Your soul duty.
Thank you. There is 100 people going through the prayer line now. Brother Branham has walked down to the end of the line, and all the ministers are lined up on the platform, and these ladies are coming through. There's a number of ladies, men, children, cripples coming through the line. Brother Branham is down at the end of the line. As you heard, there will be 100 in this line. Here's a crippled man walking down through. Practically everybody is walking straight as they're coming through. Here comes a dear-old man, crippled man. The ministers have all prayed for him. Here's a little baby, a little sick baby. They've anointed this baby. They've prayed. All these ministers have prayed for it. Brother Branham is down at the end of the line. They've never done it this way before. That God is a God of diversity. God never made two leaves alike. God never had two healing meetings alike. In this meeting, so far, everyone's been just different than all the rest of them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now they're taking Brother Branham out. Brother Branham is taking just as much as he can possibly take. His brother just helped him out. He fought the devil until he could no longer.
Hey.
Brother Branham has been taken out, and the line is coming